listening to the Rainmaking Podcast. Hosted by high-stakes headhunter, author, and professional speaker, Scott Love.
You're listening to the Rainmaking Podcast, and my name is Scott Love. Thank you for joining me on the show. What do you think is the most important skill that we need to develop as successful rainmakers? Is it proposal making? Is it making a presentation? What about listening? I think that listening is probably the most important skill that we need to master. But what have you done to really improve in that skill? Well, we're going to learn about that today. Our guest is Oscar Trimboli. He's an author and a speaker. And our topic title is Stop Listening to What Clients Say. Now, he wrote a book, and he's going to talk about that. His podcast is called Deep Listening, and he's a sought-after keynote speaker. I put his link to his site and a listening quiz on the show notes. I put his link to his LinkedIn profile, so make sure you connect with him. Just go to wherever you hear the podcast and look at the show notes, and you'll be able to get that right away. Thanks for listening to the show. As always, this podcast is sponsored by Leopard Solutions, legal intelligence suite of products, Firmscape, and Leopard BI. Push ahead of the pack with the power of Leopard. And now here's my conversation with Oscar Trimboli. Thanks for listening. Hey, this is Scott Love with the Rainmaking Podcast. Our special guest today is Oscar Trimboli. And our topic title is Stop Listening to What Clients Say. Oscar, thanks for joining me on the show today.
G'day, Scott. Really looking forward to listening to your questions.
Absolutely. And I'm forward to hearing your answers. And I like the topic title of Stop Listening to What Clients Say. Now that gets my attention because I thought I should listen to what my clients say. Why do you say this, Oscar? Let's start with why do we have this as our topic title today? What do you mean by that exactly?
Most people don't know the simple science of listening. And to understand the science of listening, you need to know the speaking speed and thinking speed of the person you're listening to.
Okay.
So think of this very simple piece of maths. I speak at about 125 to 150 words a minute, yet I can think at 900 words per minute. That means in 1 minute, I'm saying 14% of what I'm thinking and what I actually mean.
Right.
So if all you do is engaged with this person you're speaking to, your client, about what they're talking about, you're only getting 14%. Of the political landscape, the buying cycle, you're only getting a very small slice of what people mean. So my invitation is very simple. Stop just listening to what people say. Start to notice what they haven't said. And in our research of 28,000 workplace listeners, this is one thing that really distinguishes good rainmakers from great rainmakers, is their ability to listen beyond the words.
And so when you say listen beyond the words, what does that mean? And kind of give me the example of how we can apply that.
Yeah. So 2015, I was working with an advertising agency and they had a very frustrating relationship with a client. And their client was the chief marketing officer, very complex organization. They'd had a working relationship with them for about 3 years. And the kind of work they were doing with them was important work, but it was unprofitable. Mm-hmm. They would take a brief, they would bring it back to the team. The team would do great work on it. And then the client would come back and go, No, we need to change this. And it got to the point where there was friction in the relationship. And what I invited them to do is the next time they spoke to this client is just simply ask this question. What will make this a good conversation?
That's interesting.
Rather than what would make this a good conversation for you? So one of the things we're not conscious of in communication is even if there's only two people in the conversations, there's three entities present. The third is always the dialogue, the discussion, the conversation. And great, skillful rainmakers will lead the conversation rather than exclusively leading the client through the process they're going through.
So we think of that as an entity then, is that correct? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So this third thing is present in every kind of dialogue, which means you can have a great relationship with a client, but you can have a really unproductive conversation.
Right.
Now, if you've got a great relationship, ideally, that should be a leading indicator to a great conversation. But if you ask this question, ideally ask I invited them to ask the chief marketing officer this question before the meeting, but I didn't feel comfortable. So they asked it at the beginning of the meeting, and the client literally ignored what they said. Now, this was in a group context. So they got me back in. I said, you know, Oscar, that landed like a bomb. That was terrible, awful advice. I said, the advice was to do it in a one-on-one conversation, not in a group setting, because there's not a lot of safety for somebody if you change the process.
Right.
So my first insight, even my clients don't listen to the advice I provide them, even though I'm an expert on listening. So next time, the agency CEO went and met with the chief marketing officer one-on-one and said, well, we'll make this a good conversation. Now, you've got to remember, the typical conversation is about the brand and advertising and all kinds of things like that. What the chief marketing officer said next shocked the CEO. She said to the CEO, you know what will make this a great conversation is to get me the hell out of here. This is the most toxic work environment I've ever been in.
Wow.
And the CEO stepped back, thought, and said, I'm going to work with a couple of my trusted colleagues. I appreciate you've told me this. We're going to come back with a plan. Obviously, it's not something we can turn around immediately. Now, as an advertising agency, it's not your job to get somebody the hell out of there because it's a toxic work environment. But that was the barrier to profitable business. And all they've been listening for in the past was, how do we get the next order? How do we get the next order? But each order was subsequently less profitable. What happened 12 months later, they worked with the client to create an award-winning campaign, and that award created enough publicity for the chief marketing officer to get a role in an organization they wanted because a recruiter noticed them through this award.
Mm.
What happened next was the most interesting part. Without any request for proposal, the organization that she moved to immediately appointed that same agency to their account, and their working relationship was very profitable from that point on. Now, you can't always directly help your client with the services your firm provides, but you can help your client and listen to what's really in their way in their workplace. And if all you're doing is listening to what they say, you're very unlikely to understand the political barriers, the procurement barriers, because in any complex business-to-business sales, so many people are involved. So that's a simple example of how one of my clients, with a simple change in what would make this a good conversation, and that question, by the way, can be a compass setting through the conversation. If the client goes down a rabbit hole, the client tells a story that's too long, you can check in every 15 minutes and simply ask, Scott, at the beginning of our conversation, you said this would make it a good conversation. How are we going?
Right.
And the client can self-direct.
That's great.
Three things will typically happen in that moment. The client will go, hey, thanks, Scott. We've got everything we need. We can probably wrap up the meeting. It's been really valuable. That's probably going to happen in about a third of the cases. Or they'll say, Scott, we've covered off everything I thought about at the beginning of the meeting, but while we've been talking, I've thought about something else. Can we spend the balance of our time here? And that's a signal that you're being really valuable in the way you're having the conversation. But without that question at the beginning, very difficult for you to calibrate their speaking and your listening during the conversation.
So I'm interested in hearing how you came to these ideas, Oscar. Tell me about the research that you've done with this, because that's interesting to me. And then I want to kind of explore a little bit more about some of the things that you shared.
Yeah, so we've been doing this research, 28,000 workplace listeners since 2018, and we've been able to identify the most common barriers that get in the way of people's listening, the four common archetypes, the four most common ways people struggle with when it comes to their listening. And the research is bounded by English-speaking workplaces, so this doesn't apply where the business language is not English. So if you're listening through that lens, I won't be able to be helpful for you, but we have done some interviews with cross-cultural consultants about the fact that interrupting in South America and interrupting in Eastern Europe is a sign of a great relationship rather than a rude conversation.
Oh, that's so interesting. There's
all kinds of nuances when it comes to listening across the world. So we came to realize through the research that the biggest barrier that gets in the way of people's listening is not the speaker and the way the speaker communicates. The biggest barrier to listening is people's presence and have they taken the time to listen to themselves. The biggest barrier that gets in people's way is electronic notifications, their ability to be present. And that doesn't mean switch your cell phone off during the client meeting. That means, are you prepared and present before you even get in there? Have you got a ritual for 5 minutes before you arrive where you walk through the lobby or log into the meeting to be present so you don't have all these browser tabs competing for attention with what the speaker is about to say? And equally, if that's true for you, how do you set up an environment for the speaker, your client, so that is true for them? So a very simple hack is, especially if you're dealing with senior executives, if you've got a great relationship with their EA, their executive assistant, invite them to schedule the meeting at 5 after the hour.
Why is that?
Now, initially, you'll get some pushback from the EA. They will ask you questions like, why is that? And the reality is, the more senior you are, the more jammed your calendar is.
Right.
If you can create a space where people look forward to your meeting because they've had time to go to the bathroom, they've had time to get a glass of water, get some coffee. But in reality, all you're doing is creating a little bit of space so they can uncompress from their last meeting and everything they're dealing with.
So that's for me, it's really, that's a good tip.
It's really interesting for me. So when clients work with me one-on-one, the most common thing I hear is, Oscar, I love your meetings. Thank you for 5 after the hour. I look forward to the meeting and I know that I'll have time to process whatever we need to beforehand. Mm-hmm. By the way, finish the meeting at 5 to the hour and give them the opposite sign of respect because they have to go to other meetings as well. So don't schedule 1 hour meetings. In fact, don't even schedule half hour meetings, just schedule 25 minute meetings. Mm-hmm. And it helps them to become present. And when they do, and you ask that question, what will make this a great meeting? They're ready. Or this is the alternative. Oh, Scott, I'm really sorry I'm late. I know it's 5 after the hour, but I'm really ready for you right now. In reality, well, they're ready for you at 10 after the hour.
Yeah.
And if you can set up that just that little slice, and it's going to take a bit of a relationship with an EA, but if you explain that to the EA, they understand the life of the executive you're working with and they go, oh, yeah, okay, no problem. I'd be happy to set that up.
Yeah.
Because then they're ready to have the conversation as opposed to when they arrive. Generally, executives are taking notes from the last meeting that they need to pass on to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest insight from the research is really practical tips because we stay in touch with a subset of these 28,000 people. We say, hey, try these experiments and we saw what stuck and what didn't stick. So manage your electronic notification, schedule the meeting at 5 after the hour. Don't schedule 1 hour meetings. It's like time is a fantasy. I'm sure if you're a rainmaker, you know you can be as effective in 15 minutes as you can be in 50.
Right.
It's got to do with the quality of the relationship and the quality of the conversation.
And let me ask you this. Are there any gender issues that we should be mindful of? What has your research showed you in that regard?
My research and the academic research shows that when it comes to people's perception of listening effectiveness, they believe that females listen better than males. Yet academic research and our research shows there's no statistical variation in listening effectiveness across genders. Mm. So it may be possible for us to say females might listen in a way that we perceive as different.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, once you actually do the work and do the research, the barriers to listening and what gets in the way of people being effective listeners There's no statistical difference between males and females. And that's also true whether that's in a face-to-face or a video environment as well. So we've also researched it at that level as well. Humans are humans, and what gets in their way is their willingness to anticipate, to solve, to judge, to drift, to be distracted. And I just want to share, Scott, just one other number that will help you and others when you struggle with listening. By the way, the listening I'm talking about is not therapy. Don't confuse this with a Netflix video and somebody sitting on a couch. This is commercial, pragmatic, workplace listening. Mm-hmm. The speaker can speak at 125 words a minute. We mentioned that earlier on. You can listen up to 400 words per minute. So in your mind, while you're listening to me, Scott, no doubt this is happening for you, but for the Rainmakers listening to this interview, it's happening for you also. You're doing something else. You're maybe listening at 1.5 times speed, but you can listen up to 4 times faster. We know that blind people can listen to audiobooks at 3.3 times speed and have complete comprehension. Now, what happens while you're waiting for the other person to catch up? Mm-hmm. You judge, you anticipate, you solve, you think ahead, you drift, you get distracted. Just knowing that you can listen faster than what they can speak is a really useful piece of knowledge. And what I invite you to do is, once you can listen to what they're saying, I want to give you some really simple things to notice how they're saying it, not just what they're not saying as well.
So, Oscar, in terms of generational differences, have you noticed anything in that regard when we're speaking to people among any of the many generations in the workplace right now?
Yeah, so our data tells us that interruption increases with age in the workforce. So the older you are, the more likely you are to interrupt. The younger you are, the more likely you are to get lost or drift with electronic distractions.
Yeah.
So that's where we see some significant variation in what's getting in people's way when it comes to listening. And part of that, you kind of think, if I have decades of experience, I'm trying to anticipate, use some heuristic and trying to figure out what gets in the way. I think if you're a rainmaker, what does it mean? It means you're probably dealing with more senior people mm-hmm. in your client base. And it's okay to interrupt when it comes to listening in the workplace. I think there's a fallacy that interrupting is rude. But I want you to use some very simple tips to think about how to interrupt effectively, professionally, and in a nuanced way.
Yeah, tell me about that. That's interesting.
So people hate the interruption that's mid-sentence or mid-breath. So if you are planning to interrupt somebody, make sure they've completed their thought, their sentence, or their breath. And ask yourself this question: is my interruption based on the question at the beginning of the conversation? So if you can't answer, your interruption is helping with the initial question, what will make this a good conversation? It's probably an interruption from your perspective rather than progressing the conversation. So tip number one when it comes to interruption: wait for them to complete fully. And before you do, always check in and go, is the interruption I'm about to make helping us to progress on the question, what would make this a good conversation?
Right.
You know, they might be saying something about the competitor that you feel you may need to reorientate them on. But that wasn't the purpose of the conversation. So an interruption then can seem like it's going to create friction and doesn't necessarily progress the buying part of the conversation. Now, we talked a little bit earlier about this speaking speed and listening speed. I do want to just give you 3 simple tips.
Okay, tell me about that.
For hearing what's not said. 3 very short phrases that will keep the speaker making sure they say not just what they've said the first time, but what they think and what they mean. And if you hear what they think and what they mean, remember back to our advertising agency example, get me the hell out of this toxic environment. That's what they think and what they mean. They've been working with them for 4 years in this toxic environment, never heard that before.
Wow.
So question one or phrase one will keep the conversation going in the same direction. Question two will change the perspective of the speaker. So the first one will keep the conversation going north-south, if you imagine a compass.
Okay.
And the second question will take us east-west. The third part of the conversation is the magnet in the compass. It will ground the conversation. These are very short. The first one is a version of tell me more. Now, you wouldn't say, tell me more. You say, wow, that's fascinating. Scott, could you elaborate a bit more? Could you just tell me a little bit more about that? Could you say a bit more about that? So that's going to keep the conversation going in the same direction. And in doing so, you and the speaker are listening and speaking for the similarity. You're going in the same direction.
Right.
But the next way you change the perspective of the dialogue, you move it about 180 degrees and you ask, and what else?
And that's the perspective. That's the east-west, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Scott, I'm curious, what would the regulator think about this? That's a version of and what else, because we're taking a different perspective.
Right, right.
I'm curious, Scott, if we looked at that from the government's point of view and the policymaker's point of view, what would they make of this?
Mm.
And what other perspective haven't we considered? Scott, when we think about the things that finance always talks about, is there something we haven't covered off today that they would wish we would have asked? Oh, yes, they would have asked. Great. Fantastic. The third one, it's the most powerful, it's the most potent. It's also the shortest. Done well, it's liberating. Done poorly, it's intimidating. Here it is.
Silence.
Now don't worry, nothing froze. Nothing.
Is that what it was, silence?
Silent and listen share the exact same letters. And silence in Western workplace dialogue acts like a magnet to draw out what they think and what they mean. You're creating a space for them to fully express what matters to them in that moment. And yet in the West, we have phrases like pregnant pause, awkward silence, deafening silence, and we have this awkward relationship with silence. And yet when you're in a room with an executive that has gravitas, where they do have that executive presence, they have no problem with silence because they know what other competing things are in there as well. So your use of silence signals that we're equal, that we're collaborating, that we're going to solve this together. And those three simple phrases, tell me more and what else and silence, are your keys to better communication.
This is great.
They're ways for you to explore not just what's said, but what's thought and what's meant. And when you do, you're not only going to be a rainmaker for that person you're dealing with in that company, when they change companies, which they inevitably might, they'll ring you up and they will put the order with you, like that advertising agency we mentioned earlier on. So that's the impact you can have when you listen beyond the words.
Well, Oscar, this is fantastic. I actually got so much out of this, and I want to have you back on the show in the near future because I know there's more that we can learn from you on this very important topic. And I like the fact that it's a mindset, but it's also a skill. And I appreciate some of the kinesthetic examples of the north, south, east, west ways that you gave. So I'm going to remember this. And I'm going to put your book link on the show notes and your other information. But before we get to that, I always end these with three action steps. What would be three action steps you'd recommend our listeners take action on to implement some of these ideas that you're talking about?
If you can control the calendar invite for a meeting, schedule it at 5 after the hour. Number two, ask the question, what would make this a good conversation? And finally, remember that silent and listening have the same letters.
This is great. Oscar, thank you for being here. Tell us about your offerings. What is it that you have that you do that you'd like our listeners to know about?
As much as I'd love you to know about me, I'd rather you learn more about yourself and your own listening. So if you visit listeningquiz.com, you can take a 20-question assessment where you'll get a report. It will tell you what your primary listening barrier is, and it will give you 3 tailored tips about what to do about it before, during, and after the conversation you're in. So listeningquiz.com. And if you want to contact me inside the quiz, we'll give you the coordinates to contact Oscar.
That sounds great, Oscar. Thank you so much for being here. And like I said, I definitely want to have you back on my show here in the near future. Thanks again.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Rainmaking Podcast. For more information about our recruiting services for international law firms, visit our website at attorneysearchgroup.com. To inquire about having Scott speak at your next convention, conference, sales meeting, or executive retreat, visit therainmakingpodcast.com.